Banigani, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. And also with me as a co-host is brother historian. We call him Historian Joe Hembrick because of his in-depth richness of the history of our people going all the way back to the beginnings. He's a well-read, well-studied, and he presents. We also have the sponsor by way of the Community Education Network, Brother Rasha Key, who sponsors our Conscious Corner. And we thank him and his network for putting us on. And we got two dynamic guests tonight. And we want to welcome all of you that have tuned in, Brother Weezy and Brother Mashinda, along with Linda Shorter. And we probably have other people join us. And we're going to deal with the issue of reparations for Black people. This both dynamic duo have just put on the National Black Reparation Summit, and they are well-read, well-studied. Brother Reginald Muhammad, his long-time struggle out of L.A., he moved to Atlanta, worked with the nation for years and worked with, and still working with them in various ways, and at the same time, a professor at Spelman, I believe, and he's a long-time proponent of reparations for us. And also Brother Michael Muhammad, who's a longtime struggler out of Atlanta. Like they used to say about Atlanta, once you leave Atlanta, you're in Georgia. So they had to go and fight for their rights all the time. And they put together a good coalition of consciousness to get the two senators to turn the Congress around with their activities. So we are grateful for both of them being here. And we're gonna have this discussion. And then what we're going to do, if they want to share any more words about themselves, they can by way of their introductional comments. And then at the same time, we'll talk generally for about 10 to 20 minutes, then ask questions and go back and let them make some more presentations. But how do you secure a reparation for Black people, and how do you organize the masses and the national movement? Me and Reginald have had a couple of conversations about it, and I think that they're on the right track. So I'm going to start off with Brother Reginald Muhammad. He can go ahead. If he have any more comments about his history, about his biography, or his, he can go ahead and add that. And then we'll go to Michael, who will do the same, and then we'll get into their narratives of reparations, securing reparations for Black people. And at the same time, all the activities, their history of activities toward this movement and being that one of the major groups that are in the lead for reparations for Black people. Go ahead, Professor Muhammad Reginald.
Dr. Ra, Assalamu Alaikum, Abare Ghani, Hotep, yeah. And Free the Land.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
All of them.
Yes, sir, because I know we're talking to the entire family. And we don't leave anybody out in this important struggle. And Dr. Ra, I want to first off thank you for inviting me. I have been a long time, for those who don't know it, I have been a long time student of yours and many of the great warriors and many of the great scholars who have been on the battlefield, who I've sat at their feet. And I'm so grateful and honored that even though you retired from the campus, you're still on the battlefield, still doing the work, and still holding down the conscious community nationwide. And I'm just grateful and appreciative because I remember so many Black consciousness conferences with Dr. Khaled, Dr. Karinga, and yourself and others, and all of the literally thousands of students that have been affected by your body of work. And I remember Dr. Khaled years ago calling you a long distance runner. And I see why, because even 20 years after I left LA, you still carrying the baton, and I'm thankful and grateful and appreciative to be on this platform to talk reparations. And at the end of the day, Doc, we're about complete reparations. And before we get too far down the road, we're going to give you the definition and the audience of complete reparations. But at the end of the day, Doc, I'm a student working hard to become a better student. And I certainly had an opportunity many years ago when I first started my graduate work at Cal State Long Beach in the 80s. And then by the end of the 90s, I had left and come on to Atlanta. And we have continued to fight and work and organize around reparations. But much of what you will hear me say is you'll hear that the fact that I've been affected by so many who I've had a chance and been blessed to sit with, organize with, and have their leadership guide us in this right direction. And my thing is, Doc, is that at the end of the day, we're here at the National Reparations Institute in Atlanta, Georgia. Why a reparations institute? Well, Doc, in more than 30 years of being in the movement, what I realized is that in my critique and my criticism of the movement and critical of myself also, that self-criticism that is always necessary, we lacked a policy center and a think tank surrounding complete reparations for the masses of our people. We got organizations. We're not competing with any organization. We're not competing with any individuals or leader. But what was missing, Doc, was a policy center and a think tank where we go 24/7, nothing but complete reparations for the masses of our people. And so we've been blessed to have that set up here in Atlanta. We're right here in the hood. We ain't outside in the outskirts of Atlanta. We're right here two blocks from Morehouse College on Joseph Lowry Boulevard here in Atlanta. And I've been blessed to have a great, great helper and an assistant brother who's our Minister of Information, Brother Michael Muhammad. He'll be coming and joining us on, but the wealth of experience and setting up the think tank, Doc, years ago doing graduate work, my critique and criticism of the movement, it lacked a model and a methodology. If you tell me that the Japanese during the Civil Liberties Act of 1988 got reparations, then I can show you there was a model and a methodology in place. The Jewish people have gotten reparations. A host of people have gotten reparations, Doc, but Black folks have been organizing and marching and picketing and protesting and prayer breakfasts for reparations for over 100 years now. But why have we not gotten closer to the reparations goal and objective of securing reparations? In my humble opinion, Doc, in position, my humble position is that we lack a clear model and a methodology. Where is you? If you tell me I'm going to build a building, a residential, a commercial in Compton, California, and I keep talking about I'm building a building, at some point, Dr. Rod, you're going to ask me, well, where's your blueprint? Where's the formal plans? Where if I can't ever produce that, you know I ain't about to build no building in Compton because I got to submit some blueprints with a formal plan that's got a clear zoning and planning for the city of Compton to make sure they even pull a permit to start building. We have not done a formal plan for reparations. There are 10-point programs, Doc, all over the country. There are people who have positions on and philosophies about reparations, but where's your blueprint where Pookie or Ray Ray or Peanut can pick it up, a congressperson in the Capitol, campus, corporate America, or on the corner, they can pick up your plan and say, you know what? Now I understand what y'all talking about. I ain't got to read 300 pages to figure out what y'all talking about. So what was necessary, Dr. Rob, was to develop a blueprint, and that's the National Reparations Declaration. 62-page document, clearly defining what reparations is, who owe us, why they owe us, how much they owe us, and why reparations is essential for all of Black America. And so we were blessed to do that, Doc, and make some strides and some inroads. The declaration sells around the country. And even in LA, I know there are bookstores out there that are selling it, Malik's Books, Queen Amina's out in Leimert Park and other places. And we're going to be coming out there soon on a part of a 25-city tour, 10 states that we're covering to deal with the question of complete reparations. So I just wanted to say that as an introduction, Doc. There are a lot of people slapping reparations tags on a lot of stuff that's not reparations. And first off, let me clearly define reparations, Doc. And one of the things that I learned, Dr. Amin-Ra, you'll be familiar with this quote. The struggle for reparations begins with the definition of the horrendous injury of African people, which demands repair. To talk reparations is to first identify and define the injury, to say what it is and what it is not, and to define the nature and its impact on the on one's injury. Unless this is done first and maintained throughout the process, there is no case for reparations, only an incoherent set of claims without the basis in ethics or law. Dr. Mylana Karinga, PhD, the Introduction to Black Studies. So page one, Dr. Ra, just to set the base and the tone for the conversation, and I know the title is How to Secure Reparations for Blacks in America. I'm on that theme and title. Page one, the process by which a nation of people, complete reparations, the process by which a nation of people is provided with the means to repair, restore their condition, achieve complete decolonization, and make themselves whole through the ability to self-govern, self-sustain, self-defend with their own independent landmass, economy, education, culture, and high civilization. Let me read that one more time. The complete reparations, the process by which a nation of people is provided with the means to repair and restore their condition, achieve complete decolonization, and make themselves whole through the ability to self-govern, self-sustain, and self-defend with their own independent landmass, economy, education, culture, and high civilization. That's the definition of complete reparations. We were blessed to develop that, Dr. Ra, here at the Institute. And so our objective here, just to clear, our objective at the Institute is, number one, is to consolidate the movement. Dr. Ra, there, you and I know that we can name at least 14 or 15 organizations who are very strong that I stand on their shoulders and pull from their work, who are talking reparations and who are advocating for reparations. At least 15 different organizations, Dr. Ra. But at the end of the day, how do we consolidate movement? Number one, that's our objective. Number one is to consolidate the movement. Number two is control our own narrative. Number three is to implement the National Racial Declaration. And number four, implement the collective culture model that will actually cure reparations for Blacks in America. So we are clear about those four objectives. And as Dr. Karinga told us, is that first off, you got to clearly define what you're talking about. Dr. Ra, with all the people you've had on your show in the last year or 2 years, the years that you've been on, what you will find if you ask them the definition of reparations, you'll get 100 different answers if you've had 100 different guests. So first off, let's consolidate the movement. Number two, control our own narrative. Because right now, Dr. Ra, is that you hear different voices. Some of them just jumped on the bandwagon for reparations now. And the problem is, Dr. Ra, is that there are segments of the Black petty bourgeoisie attempting to sell the movement out or trivialize the movement. You got white liberals and jumped on, white conservatives and jumped on the movement and everything. And if we're not careful, they are controlling the narrative and they're going to tell us what reparations is. And at the end of the day, no self-respecting people will allow the enemy to define what reparations, control the narrative, and then tell you what the damages are going to be. So our job here at the National Reparations Institute, number one, consolidate the movement. Number two, control the narrative. Number three, implement the National Reparations Declaration. And number four, implement the collective culture model that will actually secure reparations for Blacks in America. And so with that declaration for the first time, Dr. Ra, Dr. Ray Wimbush at Morgan State University read the declaration. And he said for the first time in more than 40 years in the movement, we were blessed to develop the best scale and calculation that he had seen so thus far, him being in the movement. So he wrote the foreword for the declaration. We've been blessed with great reviews of the declaration. It's properly cited. It's not a lot of calculations about history. You and I know that there are over 100 books now on reparations, about tens of thousands of pages. But at the end of the day, good theory, but how can we apply that? And that's our job to do that. I want to take a break right now, Dr. Rod, because I know I threw a lot out there, but I want to at least lay the base and the foundation and let your audience know the objective is, again, is to how to actually secure reparations for Blacks in America. I don't plan to be around 20 and 30 years. You see me and still talking about we organizing for reparations. We can secure reparations within the next 5 to 7 years. We can actually secure reparations by clearly stating the objectives and putting together a model and a methodology for actually doing it. I'm going to leave it right there.
Do you want Brother Michael to make his comments and then we go to questions? Brother Michael Muhammad, did you want to share now?
Well, I would have to say I met Brother Reginald. I'm like him. I am a 30-year member of the Nation of Islam. I met Brother Reginald about 25 years ago. And he'd been pulling on me to join him in research. And I'd been hesitant because I just didn't think I was qualified. But one day we crossed paths and he told me about what he wanted to do in reparations and he needed my research. So I went ahead and joined. And what we did was we started the National Reparations Institute together. And our first official meeting was on January the 12th, 2020. We co-wrote the National Reparations Declaration, and I was blessed to put together the National Reparations Quantitative Scale. So this is the first time that reparations has been quantified. And if your listeners would be so kind as to purchase the National Reparations Declaration, they can see how we break down what is owed to us, how much is owed to us, who owes us, why they owe us, and why reparations is essential. Our research goes into the four variables that we have studied. These four variables are land stolen from Black people, which is approximately 14 million acres. We'd say that from 1865 to 1965. Forced free labor of Blacks, five centuries of denial, neglect, inequality, and murder of Blacks, closing the Black and white wealth gap, which are many who have written on reparations only concentrate on closing the Black and white wealth gap, and then our grand total on what is owed to us for just those four variables is over $83 trillion in value. Now, that does not include dollars. That includes land. That includes resources, that includes equipment, that includes education, that includes the process for us to develop our own and depend on self. So when we talk reparations, we're not talking a check. We know that the American dollar has no value. So we would not be foolish enough to accept dollars. We need natural resources. We need equipment. We need to educate, totally re-educate our people. This has been our process, and the National Reparations Declaration breaks that down. And I'll just stop right there and allow you to, because I know our time is limited. I'll stop there. And any questions, we can continue.
All right, we're going to go to Brother Mashinda. Did you have any questions at this point, Brother Mashinda? You're on mute.
No, good evening. No, I sure don't, not at this time. But I just thank you for your contribution and your presentation, and I'll look forward to hearing more, and maybe I'll contribute later on.
All right, then. Yes, Brother Weezy, did you have any comments as right now? Hey, Weezy.
Okay, good afternoon. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
No, I don't have any comments. I'm just appreciative of the information that you guys are dropping, and I look forward to the rest of you guys' presentation and like Brother Mashinda, I might have some questions later on.
All right. Sister Linda, Shorter, you have any questions at this point?
No, I don't. I don't, except there are a couple of people calling me saying they're trying to get on and asking that they're saying it's in another meeting. Can you please let a couple of people in now, please? Because I'm getting
They're at the wrong meeting. Wrong meeting.
Yes, it's the top portion of the website. I could show you right now, but go ahead. I continue and I'll show you where we need to click on.
Okay, and thank you. And no, I have no questions at this time.
You want to do that right now, Rasha King?
Yeah, I'm gonna do it. So you can continue,
brother.
And she may need to, as brother instructed me earlier, is to click on that top link as opposed to that second link.
Yeah, I'm about to show it. I'm about to show it right now.
And brother Tom,
so here it is, right here, and it's right below the title of the show this evening. If they go down here, this is where they're clicking on at the bottom. They need to go right in the middle here.
All right, Linda. You got it?
Yes, she has it now. Thank you.
All right. Good. Thank you. All right, brother Thomas Muhammad, I don't know how much you heard, if you heard any. I don't know if you remember.
No, I haven't heard any. I'll respond later after I've heard a little bit more, sir.
All right, then. Well, first of all, Rasha Key, did you have any questions?
Well, at the end, I just want to know exactly how a person, an individual, could contribute to helping the program that's put forth.
Okay. Yes, sir. Who want to answer that?
Well, you can go to our website, www.nationalreparationsinstitute.org, and you can donate, or you can even join our summit or Indaba that is scheduled for November 4th through the 6th of this year in Atlanta, Georgia. You can do it in person, or you could do it virtually. We will be having virtual meetings occasionally to inform the people of what our steps are. We are going, as Brother Reginald said, on a 25-city tour to push the National Reparations Declaration and teach our people on what complete reparations is. Brother Reg?
Yes. Before you do it, go with that website again.
Yes, nationalreparationsinstitute.org.
Okay.
And Dr. Ra, and the guests, they can also call us here at 404-464-8904. Again, 404-464-8904. Any additional information that you like? Because one of the things, Dr. Rod, that we've had, this will be our third annual Indaba, which is really a summit in English terms. But that Indaba, Professor Ra, we did it last year, and we had over 40 organizations, national organizations, and students and youth that were involved in the last year's summit at the Atlanta University Center. And at the end of the day, what's key about it is that we sat down, it was not a rally, not a clapping session, a rally of that type. We sat down in planning strategically what needed to happen to actually organize our people and put them in position utilizing the collective culture model to actually secure reparations. And so we have many of national figures that you all know in the movement. Dr. Ray Wimbush was there from Morgan State University. He wrote the book, Should America Pay, which is still one of the best used references on reparations today. It's probably about 17, 18 years old that it was published, but it's still used today. We had just about every national organization had representation there from the vantage point of reparation, whether they were civil rights organizations, spiritual organizations, grassroots human rights organizations, and spiritual organization that were involved last year. And we're looking for an even bigger and more comprehensive summit. And again, NCOBRA was involved. I'm a long-term member, as you know, of the Nation of Islam, and given and put on the post by Minister Farrakhan as far as reparations. And then too, I'm a long-term member of NCOBRA. NCOBRA was there. The December 12th movement was involved. Roger Wareham was there at the conference, a host of people who have been doing the work and organizing. Dr. Jewel Crawford was there from Morehouse School of Medicine. We just had a good cross-section of brothers and sisters planning. There are five areas that we're concentrating on when you're talking complete reparations. Number one is education and culture. We have five select committees in place right now, and we will be building on those select committees at the Nationals Indaba. which will be, again, as Brother Michael said, and that'll be the first weekend of November of 2022. Well, the five select committees, education and culture. Number one is education and culture. Number two, economics and investment. Number three, state and land acquisition. Number four, public and mental health. And five is public policy and legislation. And those are the areas that we're concentrating on, because for the most part, we think that in a very comprehensive way, utilizing the collective culture model, that is the best way to secure reparations for the masses of our people. You will not hear us trivializing it. And one of the things I caution the audience and audiences around the country, I keep hearing now, give me a check, give me a check. See, we trivialize the movement when we do that. And some people who are doing that, Dr. Rock, some of them are paid enemies. Some of them have come on board to derail the reparations movement. So no, we're about how do we consolidate the movement and unite the movement. And one of the things, another thing that I'm seeing, Dr. Rock, there are those who have taken anti-nationalist, anti-Pan-Africanist, anti-Black position and call themselves talking about reparations for Black people in America. But the other part of that, they have aligned themselves with every European organization that they can find, whether they call themselves liberal or conservative. Now, how are you going to be talking about securing reparations for the masses of our people? And you have talked against those who have been the forerunners of the reparations movement and taking cheap shots at them and causing a chaotic atmosphere around reparations. And then you hear them reduce it to give me my check. See, you and I know, as the minister said, if you're not talking millions of acres of land, then an eight to 10 states, it's a compromise and it's a sellout. And our job is to make sure that that does not happen.
Okay, we're going to have to get some questions in a minute. Brother Hembrick, Brother Historian, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question, and, you know, appreciating the brother's presentation this evening. I kind of was on mute. I got a bunch of Negroes next door celebrating something. I don't know why, but they are, and they're a little loud. So anyway, I'll be in and out on the mute thing. But anyway, brother, you know, I'm a historian by trade, a lot of studying over the years and, you know, with the African world.
Yes,
not
sir.
In America, but on the continent, it's just as bad, not worse. And I know that power concedes nothing unless it's forced to. You know what I'm saying? I know these others have gotten theirs. I don't know what kind of piece of the pie Japan and Germany got, you know, with theirs. But I want to hear more about the forced hand that's going to make these folks do what we know they should do and have been very reluctant to do. I want to hear more about that if you're going to present that tonight. Thanks for your comments.
Brother, that's a very good question, because Dr. Rob, for the last month, we've been on the streets with the people. We were at the Malcolm X Festival here, which is huge here in Atlanta. Anywhere from 5,000 to 7,000 people turned out in a couple of days. We just had the big Juneteenth Festival, another 10,000 we were able to present. And we've been doing bookstores here locally and restaurants and wherever Black people are. Well, at the end of the day, Brother Henry, not to avoid your question, that question comes up to me all the time. Well, Professor Mommy, Black people, they ain't finna give y'all no reparations, brother. I don't care what y'all do, how y'all organize. They're not going to give y'all reparation. The white man won't this, or the white man won't do that. Well, Dr. Rob, what I've learned as a political scientist, and it is part of the collective culture model to actually secure reparations, is that what I've learned is that there is an international, Brother Henry, there is an international white ruling class.
It's Hembrick. Hembrick.
Brother what?
His name is Hembrick. Hembrick. Hembrick.
Hembrick. Okay. Brother Hembrick, thank you. Excuse me. Thank you for the correction too, sir. Brother, what I've understood now as a 30 years as a political scientist is that there is an international white ruling class, and there's a national white ruling class, and then there's a local ruling class. And what I've found at the national level here all of their political and economic, all of their economic and political decisions are based on four components or four variables. They always make a political and economic decision based on number one, will it hurt, will it help or hurt number one, their power base, number two, their profit base, number three, their policy base, number four, their privilege base. Let me say that again. You won't find that in no textbook nowhere. This has been years of research struggle and being on the ground with the masses of our people. The white ruling class at the national level will make their economic and political decision based on four components or four variables. Will it help or hurt, number one, their power base, number two, their profit base, number three, their policy base, and number four, their privilege base. Let me prove that in no limit of time. They'll make their decision on reparations once they see we're organized and we clearly articulated what reparations is. So we had to do the declaration. You can read that declaration in within about an hour and a half. Well, congressional people have copies of the declaration, and we'll be going doing another mass mailer. You have a task force there in California. At least four of them I know and have consulted with about the work that they're doing in California. Everybody on that task force has a copy of the declaration, and I've explained to them the quadruple-based paradigm. That's what is known as the quadruple-based paradigm. All of their economic and political decisions are based on, will it help or hurt, number one, their power base, number two, their profit base, number three, their policy base, and number four, their privilege base. What do I mean by that? Give me an example. When they shut down during COVID, the first wave of the COVID, Dr. Roth, they moved $2 trillion within about 2 weeks. Congress, liberal and conservative, Democrat and Republican, decided within about 2 weeks that they were going to move at least $2 trillion. They were going to put that in the economy. Why did that happen? Well, the Wall Street bankers, that part of that white ruling class said, I don't care what y'all do. Our bottom line is starting to be ill affected here. Our power base and our profit base is starting to be ill affected. That's what they looked at. Said, I don't give a damn what y'all do. Get some money in the economy. Multinational corporations are starting to be hurt. The U.S. credit rating is possibly being about to be ill-affected. We're about to start having chaos. Get some money into the economy now. They did that. And it was based on the fact is that their profit, their policy base and their privilege base was starting to be ill-affected. So within 2 weeks, they moved $2 trillion. Let me give you another example. In 2019, Professor Rob, Donald Trump, the former president, 45, psychopathic. Bobby Wright describes him, psychopathic. He shut down the whole country, if you remember, in the longest government shutdown. People were losing their jobs. People were not getting paid because it was the longest government shutdown. Air flights were starting to be canceled around the country. And I told my students here at the Atlanta University Center, Spelman students, Clark, Atlanta, Morehouse students, ITC students, I told them all, look here, here's what's happening. Let's test the paradigm right now. I say, what's happening? The shutdown and people like this man is so foolish. People are going to start to lose their home. Families are going to be broken up because of the long process. Donald Trump on a Thursday, Professor Roth, went out on the White House lawn and said, well, America better hunker down. I better get the money for the border wall, the billions of dollars I need for the border wall. Otherwise, it's going to remain shut down. Well, I was down in Florida, Dr. Roth, and I looked at this and I told my students, I said, no, wait a minute. Now, let's look at the political and economic landscape right now. Let's see how, and I'll tell you how long this shutdown is going to be. And I predicted it was on social media a month before the shutdown ended. I said, no, this is not going to go no 2 or 3 months. Even though how wild and crazy Donald Trump is, this ain't going 2 or 3 months. Because what was happening on the scene right then, a month out, Professor Roth, we were the busiest airport in the world is right here in Atlanta. The shutdown is about to affect the airport here in Atlanta. Number two, what was going on, Professor Roth, now this deals with their privilege base. Guess where the Super Bowl was in 2019? Right here in Atlanta, the busiest airport in the world. Now, I said to myself and my students a month while this shutdown is going on, I said, no, it's not going to last because I knew that the half of the owners, 80% of the owners were multi-billionaires, half of them were Jewish, NFL owners. The business airport in the world, they're canceling flights in New York, Chicago, and Denver and everywhere. Major airlines are starting, and now they're talking about whether they're going to cancel flights in Atlanta. We a month out from the Super Bowl. They wasn't even finna let the white ruling class wasn't even finna let Donald Trump mess that up. You talking about the largest commercial day worldwide, Super Bowl played in every country, $4 or $5 million for a 30-second spot. They wouldn't even let that cracker mess up their nothing with a continued shutdown. But that's what was about to happen in their privilege base. So he says on a Thursday, America better hunker down, otherwise, and I better get my billions of dollars for the border wall. Or he's saying, hell with the American people, we're going to remain in the shutdown. And I said, hell no, it ain't been removed. So on a Thursday, he says that. And then on a Tuesday, he walks his behind right back on the White House lawn and said the shutdown is over with. Well, I knew damn well it was going to be over with because the Wall Street bankers and the booking houses and the gangsters and everybody else then told him, no, you ain't even finna mess that up. You ain't finna mess up the Super Bowl in Atlanta, the busiest airport in the world. And they talking about canceling flights. We talking about messing up the white ruling class money. They made him walk his behind right back on a Tuesday and say the shutdown was over with. Why? Because their profit base, their policy base, and their privilege base was about to be ill effect. They will decide reparations when we're organized. And Doc, you know that the people got to be organized first, educated and organized. And when that happens, they'll come to the table like they got some sense and say, we support and we will pass H.R. 40, House Bill H.R. 40 and Senate Bill SB 40, which are nothing but reparation bill, first initiated by John Conyers, now Sheila Jackson Lee is pushing and heading that. And right now you have over 115 Congress people who have signed on to that national bill. Some of them are white. We got some congressional black caucus members who are scared to sign on. And Dr. Ra, anytime you find black people who are not in support of reparations, it's generally for two reasons. Their ignorance or their fear of the white backlash is why they don't support complete reparations for the masses of our people. I'm going to leave it at that.
All right.
Hopefully I answered the question.
Oh, that was excellent, excellent narrative. But Sister Monica, did you have any questions on the iPhone?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I have a few. And first of all, I want to say again, thank you and Brother Michael Muhammad for being on the program. And it's just been excellent thus far. The first question is, how long have the Institute been together?
The National Reparations Institute started in 2020 in January. Dr. Ra, what I did is invited a cross-section of brothers and sisters from different organizations. At our first meeting right here at the Institute, we actually have a location right here in the hood in Atlanta that we were blessed to purchase 16 years ago. Well, we invited and we had over 42 people, a cross-section of those. They're listed in the declaration in our introduction. Well, we had a cross-section of different organizations involved. A number of my students came to that first initial meeting. Dr. Sam Livingston was involved. Attorney Maule Davis, Davis Bolden Law Firm, long-term member of NCOBRA. Brother Jamoki, the former co-chair of NCOBRA, he was here. Dr. Slaughter from the Beloved Community Church, ITC. A number of my students from Clark Atlanta University, those from the master's and the graduate program. We had those from Morehouse, Clark, Atlanta, student organizations. We had brothers and sisters from New Order, which is a human rights organization. We had those from Operation Push, NAACP members all sat down and formed the national. That was our initial meeting. And of course, after that meeting, when we decided that there was going to be some work needed involved, many of them fell off. And so the Institute now consists of an executive board and a few staff members. And Brother Michael and I, but this is what we do 24/7, Dr. Rock. And again, in my estimation, you and I know that political and economic decisions in this country, a lot of times have already been laid out 10 years and 20 years in policy center and think tanks. And in my estimation, that's what was missing, was the policy center and think tank centered around complete reparations for the masses of our people. But only for the last 2 years. But I've been a student of the movement, Professor Rob, for over 30 years. And you know, on with some of the organizations that I've been involved in, we've been on the forefront as far as organizing for reparations.
All right. Now, what do you say to people that say that reparations for Black people is really an international or global dynamic and a historical dynamic, because the Holocaust of enslavement started before America became America?
Yes,
the
sir.
Colonies. Is yes, there sir. Any effort to make other countries pay reparations in that first 100 years of enslavement by the British, the French, the Portuguese, the Spaniards, who had colonies here? There was 13 colonies, Virginia. And now the first people came, supposedly came as indentured servants. Then they began to practice chattel slavery, but chattel enslavement. And they identified Black people as the ones that would get it, because whites and others were indentured. They could work their way out of it in the colonial period before the United States. But is there an effort, does the plan or the Institute plan to make it an international? Because you have Brazil, where the majority of Black people, as historian Joe said, was really put there, and some in Hades. And all those Caribbean cities where African people are, Puerto Rico, and all of them were enslaved also, who are not necessarily a part of what is now the United States, but they have either their own country or their own sovereignty. They just a territory for one of the enslavers and things of this nature. So how far back and what's your target group to pay reparations, and how you determine, from answer that first.
Okay, well, Doc, there in the United States, that's a very good question. And I'm gonna, by Allah's permission, I'm gonna connect it and show you that we've thought about it and planned about it and organizing around the questions you just raised. Well, number one, if you read the declaration, it's a 62-page document. But the key is that we going after four bodies right now for reparations, for complete reparations for Blacks in America. Now, remember, I say complete reparations because that term comes out of the Institute. We developed that term because, again, they're generic terms that others are using and all of us have used on reparations. But we had to specify that which was historically and culturally relevant for us as a people. Now, there are four entities that we're looking at that are targeted that will pay reparations to the masses of Black people in America. Number one is, we know, the federal government and federal and state and local government. That's number one. Number two, we have identified, Dr. Rod, there are over 35,000 plantations that are still up and operating in the United States under different names, different companies, and some under different families. But they made their money off the enslavement and the trafficking of Black people. Notice I did not say the transatlantic slave trade. No, it's the we call it the trans. We have retitled it the transatlantic enslavement and trafficking of Black people. And at the end of the day, because one thing Dr. Kering is very clear about is that when we use the word trade, that sanitizes a very catastrophic, a very deadly, and a very traumatic experience for the masses of our people. So the transatlantic enslavement and trafficking of Black people, number one, we're going after, you're talking about the national, state, and local government. Number two is over 35,000 plantations that are still up and operating. Also, there are select multinational corporations, Dr. Rock, that are involved. And then two, nonprofit organizations. Remember a month ago, Wall Street Journal, and this is to show you how that we know that we are on the right track right now, and we're being led by the Spirit, and not only by the work historically, but by the Spirit. A month ago, Wall Street Journal Harvard University decided that it would allocate $100 million for reparations, all on the news and everything else. Why, Dr. Rock? Their students and staff there have gotten copies of the National Reparations Declaration. And at the end of the day, Doc, we named them in the declaration. They're not only them as a nonprofit organization, but you got Brown University, you got Yale, you got Cornell, Georgetown, and a host of other universities made their money off the enslavement and trafficking of Black people. Harvard University said over 40 of its founders, had and owned and transported slaves. And there are thousands of slaves involved in building and solidifying Harvard University. That sprawling campus that it's on and the endowments that they've had for over 100 years, Professor Rock, that came as a result of the enslavement and the trafficking of our people. So again, federal government, existing plantations, nonprofits, and select multinational corporations. We know Wells Fargo was involved in the enslavement of our people. We know B of A, Aetna Life Insurance. There are hosts of Chase Bank. All of them were involved and made their money off the enslavement of our people. And for those who need some references on the line, let's go back and revisit the work of Walter Rodney, How Europe Underdeveloped Africa. Let's go back and he shows you where the Lords of London Bank were involved in enslavement and trafficking of our people internationally. You had the Barclay, Alexander and David Barclay, owners of the Barclay Banks. So we know conclusively, Dr. Rob, that the insurance industry, banking industry, shipbuilding, and the industrial revolution rest off the backs of our people. Where did I learn that as a student with you all many years ago, Dr. Rob? And go back and read Eric Williams' book, Capitalism and Slavery. Go back and read Manning Marble's one of his best works. He's done a lot of works that we can question later on. But go back and read how capitalism underdeveloped Black America. So there's a host of references out there that solidifies our position. So those are the four entities. And Professor Ra, you said, now how do we tie all of this in together? Because we know that all of us were ill affected by the enslavement and the trafficking of Black people all throughout the world. Well, at the end of the day, CARICOM, right now, and they're organizing CARICOM, the Caribbean nations, they're very clear on the reparations question. Go back and see the work 6 or 7 years ago, Dr. Henry Beckel's work, Britain's Black Debt. So they're focused on those European nations that still owe the Caribbean. There's a problem in Africa today. Dr. Ra, honestly, for my doctorate, there's a piece that I'm going to be publishing soon. It's called the African Union, the Missing Body and Voice for Complete Reparations. The African Union right now, you got the indigenous people and organizations organizing on the ground, but the African Union is absent in the voice and in the struggle for organizing for reparations. The quicker they get on board, the better we're going to be. If Africa does not secure complete reparations, Dr. Roth, I don't care what development program that you bring. I don't care what you suggest. If it's not about complete reparations for the masses of our people, even on the continent of Africa, it remains political peanuts and popcorn at the end of the day, if it's not complete reparations. And it ends up being economic and political patchwork if it's not complete reparation. So the summit that we have coming up, the Indaba that we have coming up, meaning the great sitting down, Dr. Roth, there will be brothers and sisters by Allah's permission will be from the Caribbean who will be there organizing, from the West Indies, from Brazil and other island nations that will be there and taking part from Central and South America will be there. That's our job, is to consolidate the movement. We ain't ask you about your ideology. We ain't ask you about your theology or your philosophy, long as you agree with complete reparations for the masses of our people.
And there is some argument, and I don't know if a brother Michael can answer this, that even the continent or some of the communities on the continent of Africa are due reparations also. from international bodies. So maybe Michael can respond to that with his research.
What we're developing is called the a branch of the National Reparations Institute. It's called the Institute for International Reparations. And what we've done is we've developed an international scale for quantifying reparations around the world. We know what happened during the Berlin Conference, and we know the 14 nations that were involved in the Berlin Conference simultaneously attacked Africa in 1890 at the same time Jim Crow was being passed in America. A lot of people think that that's a coincidence, but that is connected. And we have to connect the dots because we have to unify the whole worldwide movement. We know that the major players in the enslavement of Black people worldwide was England, France, Germany, Portugal, Spain, Belgium, Austria, Germany, Italy, just to name a few. These nations must pay. But first, we have to concentrate on America, and we have to knock down that domino. As America goes, the world will go. So the challenge for us is first to gain reparations for Black people in America and help to unite the movement worldwide. One thing that has been missing is Black people in support of our people in the Caribbean and in Africa, in the Isles of the Pacific, and in parts of Asia getting reparations. So our process of uniting the movement in America also is developing to unite the movement around the world, because there has to be a worldwide movement among our people to get reparations worldwide. So we are working and operating in that manner. In fact, we are in touch with people with CARICOM. We are in touch with members of the African Union that want to organize, and we are working in that direction to get that done internationally.
Okay, now, what about the argument that, you know, other ethnic groups like the Native Americans, and even though they were different ethnic groups among them, also do reparations, and that if we get it, then that opened up the door for the Japanese from the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki and all of that destruction, as well as the Native Americans. How do we respond to that? And I got one more question, then we'll go around again. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the old adage is self first, then others. What has been our problem is we have always looked away from our condition and look at what other people were dealing with. We have to turn now. Look, in the Guardian magazine, the Guardian newspaper in London in 2017, they wrote an article and said that by 2053, the median Black wealth in America will be zero. Now we know 2053 is only 31 years down the road. We don't have time to turn around and look and try to solve somebody else's problem. We have major problems to solve on our own. In Atlanta, the median Black wealth will be zero by 2038. So we have to solve our problem first before we can solve anybody else's problem. So the concentration now through the National Reparations Declaration is to solve the problem of Black people in America first and foremost, then organize and help around the world. So that is our process. We can't, you know, the Japanese, there was a Japanese executive that said in an interview, I think, with the New York Times back in the 90s, that they can't concern themselves with the Black people. They do business with other Asians. They help other Asians, and it is on the Black man to help himself. So we have to take that same mindset and build and get reparations for Black people in America first. We can't worry about what others are doing. We have to do for self and build our own just like everybody else.
Okay. Now, what about this, the concept, and it's a very challenging concept when it comes down to reparations, because as you pointed out, there are a lot of groups already, well, they go all the way back to history, talking about the Freeman Bureau was a part of reparations, the 40 Acres and the Mule, and some people got it, some people didn't. And then you go around with the notion that, as you said, there's people that are in Illinois, I think they're talking about people can get grants to fix their house up or purchase a house. So some little small city or something. Then you got the argument about who you determine deserve the reparations. Is it a blanket thing with all Black people? Or is it only those that can prove that they are descendants of a specific enslaver? Could y'all respond to that?
Yeah. Well, it's like this. It's like this. Let me give this example. If you're in a burn unit, you're going to have a person in the lobby with a first degree burn, second degree burn, degree burn, and third degree burn. But you have to prioritize who gets what. You know, and I know, that we can't count on America's census to determine who was a descendant before, let's say, 1785, because we weren't allowed to keep records. All Black people who have been in America have been ill affected in some way. But there are, and I think Brother Reginald will expound on it, but there are levels of reparations for our people. We know that certain groups of our people have immigrated into America after Jim Crow and our enslavement, but they have still been ill affected by white racism and what we understand is white supremacy. So we don't have any groups or organizations that is trying to get reparations above us. That is the work of our enemy. Mm-hmm. And I'll allow Brother Reginald to expound on that, but that's the work of the enemy to try and split the reparations movement from that, from an internal standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Good points, Brother Michael. And just to add, and Dr. Rob, one of the things you said earlier, remember now in 1988, the Civil Liberties Act of 1988, that's Japanese securing reparations for themselves. And by 1990, President Reagan was in office. He signs the bill for Japanese to get the billions of dollars that they ultimately received and the property that was taken from them and restored the Japanese people. We know reparations work, Dr. Roth, because after World War II, there were at least 16 European nations that are rebuilt under what they call the Marshall Plan. And remember, these nations were destroyed. The infrastructure was gone. The economy was gone. The education system was destroyed, all of that. And today, some of these are thriving economies because of the Marshall Plan. That was a reparations package. We know that the Jewish people have gotten reparations, even from America, not only from Germany, but other European nations who were involved in the Holocaust of the Jewish people. Dr. Ra, and then the other thing is, remember, the United States, they believe in reparations now. Before the last time they passed a reparations bill, remember President Obama in 2016, at the behest of Joe Biden, the remaining Holocaust survivors that they said were below the poverty level here in the United States got a reparations package and a reparations deal. So they believe in reparations only when it comes to Black men and women. That's when there's all of a sudden a problem. And here's what we won't allow happen. And you already see it being in the argument. Well, only those who can prove lineage. Well, there were some slave masters who particularly didn't record how many slaves that they owned and how much of their profits, because there was a fight between the North and the South. Go back and read the book, The Peculiar Institution of Slavery by Kenneth Stamp. So Black people, it was against the law for them to read and write. So there are thousands of slaves that were on plantations that were never documented. And so now we got an organization out here, Negroes, talking about, well, at the end of the day, you got to prove your lineage and everything else. Doc, the best thing that should happen with that, what we have developed here is what we call the deal level when you're quantifying reparations. That means the damages, injury, and the loss. That's how you do it. You and I know you right there in LA area, LA County, Dr. Ra, and you know the Harbor Freeway. Well, if there's a wreck on Rosecrans and there's a fender bender, and but there can be a wreck out there on the Harbor Freeway, the 405 freeway. There are two or three cars that are lost and totally destroyed. Well, that ain't the same wreck that was in, on Rosecrans. So they're both entitled to damages, but at what level? That's the same way you do the reparations piece. One of the arguments now in California, they made the mistake. And I wrote them all a letter, everybody on that committee, and warned them, do not base it on lineage, those who can prove lineage, who are deserving of reparations. Because what they did, Dr. Rob, is they backed themselves in a corner. How Negroes going to say, those who are qualified for reparations, first off, you got to prove your lineage. And then so they do this without doing any study, any population study, any demographic study, any historic references. They don't do any of that. No framework. They, before they do anything, they vote and say it's going to be based on lineage. Now, where did that argument come from? The black petty bourgeoisie, who just jumped on the bandwagon, and then white liberals and conservatives who really don't want to give you reparations. They didn't have not one of those criterias that they set for the Japanese people. Go back and read the latest book on that just came out in 2020 called Redress, The Inside Story of Japanese Americans Reparations Success Movement. I have the book right here. It's a 365-page piece. They never set that kind of criteria for the Japanese people. They never set that criteria for the Jewish people. They never set that for even Native Americans who have received some forms of reparations in America. Now, because it's the black man and woman, and they know that they owe us trillions of dollars, they have sent Negroes out to infiltrate and to dilute the movement to this, well, if you can't prove lineage-based, then you don't deserve reparations. Now, all y'all been in an accident, but at the same time, you have eliminated half of the population. And so what LA is going to see, that the outcry is going to be, y'all have eliminated, before you did any study and research, you said it's going to be based on lineage. And now watch what happens, Doc, when next year, when they already released the first 500 pages, and next year the remainder of the report is due. The outcry from the population is going to be, well, hell, y'all missed tens of thousands of black people who deserve reparations from the state of California. But now you make base it on lineage, and some of them can't prove lineage.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem.
And Mount Lana also teaches that we deserve reparations for the continue all the way up to today.
Yes, sir.
Abuse and misuse. And I think a brother Michael put it in his narrative about the differentiation in pay and the differentiation in home loans and all of those. But anyway, let me go around again. And before we go, make sure you let us know where we can purchase that that National Declaration book, either directly from y'all or it's somewhere local in California. All right.
Yes,
so we're going to start with Brother Mashinda. You have any questions yet? Are you there, Mashinda? You're on mute. We'll wait for him to get it together. What about you, Weezy? Weezy?
Professor Rob, it's pronounced Iweze.
Iweze.
Yeah.
Okay. Good evening, you two. And you have to remind me of your Nancy, Brother Reginald.
Yeah. Reginald. Yes, it's Reginald.
Muhammad. And the other one, what's your name, sir?
Brother Michael,
because I'm on my cell phone. I can't see everybody all on the same screen. But I was just curious. So you two said that you were active members in the Nation of Islam?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I just have like a theological question. And I was just curious, and, you know, based on studying the Nation of Islam, you know, over the years, how consistent is the quest to pursue reparations from our oppressors with the overall theology and eschatology of the Nation of Islam, which teaches the downfall of white civilization, particularly upon the arrival of Elijah Muhammad on the mother wheel. And so, in other words, do you two believe that our efforts to pursue reparations in the form of land granted will be given to us, or is it the expectation that the white power structure will reject the idea of reparations, thereby triggering a divine judgment and forcing our demands to be finally realized? So that's my question.
Good question, brother. And I'm going to let Brother Michael take a part of it, and I'm going to take a part of it. Remember, I described to you the quadruple base paradigm.
Okay.
And again, that's how reparations is going to be decided for Blacks in America. There are Europeans, brother, who know the teachings and know the correctness of the teachings, and they have watched America, the of our leaders of over the last 100 years, one who has certainly taught and taught the fall of America is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You see that right now. And at the end of the day, the Nation of Islam has been very consistent on the reparations question. And of course, in the final call, what the Muslims believe and what we want, there is a point that deals with reparations. And so we have been very consistent in the reparations movement. We have been consistent in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Even Malcolm, if you say you're a student of Malcolm, then you support reparations. I said the same thing here in Atlanta. There are people who call themselves Christians said, I'm a Christian and I follow Dr. King. I say, well, if you know Dr. King's body of work, he's clear on the reparations question. And he even uses the term reparations. Go back and read the essential writings of Dr. King. So at the end of the day, though, brother, we're very clear on there are a number of things that are going to happen. We will get the millions of acres of land. Yes, or 8 to 10 states, that will happen. One of the things in the declaration, Brother Michael has done an extensive work on key states, and he has them broken down in the appendix of the declaration, some of the key states that ultimately Black people will have because it's ability for produce, livestock, how you sustain, how you build and develop for people. We're talking food, clothing, and shelter. And in order for Black people to be strategically fit and successful for the 21st century, we must have some land of our own. And right now, the statistics show that Blacks operate on less than 2 million acres of land. And at one point, up until 1970, we were controlling over 15 million acres of land. And so, yes, we believe that. And we're not, and Black people, and some people are like, man, well, we're not going anywhere. No, we realize we're not going anywhere. They're going somewhere, many of them. And a lot of times, brother, if we just start to migrate to certain areas and start to look at the power that we have, we'll be able to take those states anyway. And so you see them running around with Roe versus Wade, Roe v. Wade on the abortion issue. White folks are afraid. Their demographers have said that there's a loss in population. They have a zero birth rate at this time. So they're worried about that. And so they are chaotic their response is chaotic because they're threatening with jail and even killing their own for those who would say that they're in support of abortion and who want to have abortions. So it's an issue. But as you talked about the theology of the Nation of Islam, brother, that theology, yes, we believe that 100%, and we follow and practice and advocate that. But there, as the minister told me years ago, he said, brother, we talking about we have scientists, we have engineers, doctors, lawyers, and political scientists. Well, I'm a political scientist, brother, and from the political standpoint, we stand very solid. And the nation has always supported reparations movements around the country, even when movements that an organization, they'll tell you that Minister Farrakhan and the nation has funded efforts for reparations, even when our name is not even nowhere to mention, and sometimes not even participating in those movements.
Right.
And so we're very clear on that and very consistent with that. And my niche, brother, I don't claim to be a spiritual leader. I don't claim to be a lawyer or a legal mind. I don't claim to be an engineer or a great educator. I'm a student of the movement, but I am a reparationist and I stay in my lane, and my lane is reparations. And that's what I've been called to do, is to make sure that we secure reparations for the masses of our people. So that's what you get And in the Declaration, it's not a, it is not a spiritual text. Yes, it's because that's our base and our foundation. And when you read it, you'll see that that's our base and our foundation, but it does not deal with the esoteric or the theology as you can pull from the Bible and the Quran and some of the teachings. But what you'll see in there, that we call for 8 to 10 states in there, millions of acres of land. So we're very clear, and there's no contradiction there with how we have developed and laid out the National Reparations Declaration. Hopefully, did I kind of answer your question, brother?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Thank you. Thank I appreciate you. It.
Yes, sir.
Good question, Uwezi. Yes, Brother sir. Michael, did you have any comment on that question?
No, I think Brother Reginald handled it fine. I don't need to go any further.
Okay, then. Mashinda, you back? Mashinda, we can't hear you. All right. Brother Thomas Muhammad, you have any questions?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Reginald.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaykum salam, brother. How you doing?
Praise be to Allah. Doing well. I enjoy
you. Brother, I have not seen you in over 20 years, brother. I remember you as a student down in Long Beach in the study group and one of Professor Ra's students. Crazy. So if they tell you my memory is going bad, tell them they lying.
That they lying, brother. Yes, sir. Good to see you again, Brother Reginald.
It's been over 20 years.
Yes, it has been, brother. While you were talking, I went on to your website and I purchased the electronic copy of the Declaration, and I've been reading it.
Thank you.
I've been reading it ever since when you've been talking, and I enjoyed. The most I've enjoyed about it was the numbers, the amount of money that you totaled on every single thing that has been stolen or what we did to make all the things that we had done to make money to be exploited with our labor. The land that was taken from us post-slavery during the Jim Crow segregation and all those. Yeah. I love the totals. And then I heard you talk about the land. I also heard you refer to how the Nation of Islam's position on reparations as it pertains to what's in the final call, the 25 years of assistance, the eight states on the coast that has easy access to Africa or whatnot, so that we could, you know, so my question is, when we get the land, what other aspects of reparations are we gonna demand to ensure that we can build on the land, that we have the skills to develop it, the skills to develop the infrastructure, to develop the community and the city and the states into a self-sufficient, own-ran, operated nation within a nation? Yes, you know, sir. What other aspects of the reparations as it pertains to education, as it pertains to how can we finance it without, relying fully on the government to finance our the monies required to build on the land, and what other aspects of the reparations, you know, entail that aspect of it in terms of we secure the land. How are we going to build on the land? How are we going to maintain it, make it into a nation, make it into a self-sufficient community? What other aspects of the reparations does that entail?
Well, okay, if you want to take some of that and do whatever.
If you read the definition of complete reparations, first of all, in the definition of complete reparations, I'm just going to touch on a few things there, dear brother. What we want here, and you know when I mention it, I can't find it. So give me one second.
You got it on the screen, Brother Michael.
Okay, but it's the process by which a nation of people is provided the means to repair and restore their condition, achieve complete decolonization. Now, complete decolonization means complete re-education of our people. We have to do that. what we have developed and what we are in the process of developing is a center by which we distribute our reparations. We need equipment. We need farming equipment. We need computing equipment. We need equipment on how to build and how to maintain our power plants. There are already cities available to us. We don't have to go now into the underbrush and build. What we have to do right now is to maintain what is there and improve what is there. But we have to be taught. Now, we're not going to accept everything that America has to give, but America is going to have to pay the bill for whatever training we get. We're going to need a whole new medical process. We can't stand and be under this medical apartheid that we've been under. So we're going to have to go to other nations and develop a medical system. These systems have to be in place. This is why we have the five select committees on education and culture, on economics and investment, land and state acquisition, mental health and public health, and public policy and legislation. Those five pillars are the foundation by which you build a nation. And we must do that. Mm-hmm. So America has to, as Thomas Jefferson said, when Thomas Jefferson offered to recolonize us and relocate us, he said that they would have to provide weaponry, seed, and mechanisms by which we can farm and maintain ourselves for 20 to 25 years. That is a process that America has to do. But it doesn't necessarily mean that America will be completely involved in how we retrain our people. We will choose how we retrain our people. But the first thing is to re-educate our people. And we have to have a national center and distribution center, just like when someone comes from a foreign country and wants to become a U.S. citizen. What does he first have to do? He has to be re-educated. He has to understand American history. He has to understand questions and pledge his allegiance to America. And he has to refuse his nation anymore, because I'm no longer an Iranian. I'm no longer an Angolan. I'm no longer an Austrian. I'm an American now. So this is going to be the process by which we go through. And what our people have to understand is that when we get reparations and when we get land, it's not going to be a picnic. It's going to be a building process. Remember, we've been under 468 years of mental, physical, spiritual, and economic slavery. This process is not going to be changed overnight. So we have to be ready to go and deal with the process by which we have to rebuild our people and make a new nation. And we know that everybody's not going to want to go. We know that too.
Brother Michael, let me add to what he's saying also. In that process of complete reparations, remember the campaign and the mindset has to be complete reparations. In that complete reparations package, we know that historically Black colleges have to have some billions of dollars in endowments to be sustainable and to be successful for the remainder of the 21st century. That represents a part of the reparations package. Also, Black farmers who have been cheated out of their land, the equipment, proper seeding of that has to come about. That's part of the reparations package. Complete reparations also links us to the indigenous and African people throughout the diaspora. So we will be doing part of the complete reparations package is that we starting to do trade with Africa, starting to do trade with other countries around the world. Give an example. We talked about the public and mental health. We know Cuba has one of the best medical systems in the Western Hemisphere, and they have supplied doctors throughout Africa. They would have, and they've always had a relationship with us here in America, those who subscribe to, who understand the nationalist Pan-Africanist perspective. And so that's a part of it. Then too, part of it, give an example, is that there must be free vocational training. For we know Pookie and Ray Ray them and Shanae and them may not go to anybody's college or university, but how do we develop? they must have free, at least free vocational training. And so that comes with the mindset. What we've done, brother, is identified a skills bank. And when and Brother Michael's saying, yeah, they must, but there's some of so much that we have to do ourselves. Right. And remember now, whites, Europeans cannot give us reparations. There's restitution that they owe us. There's land that they owe us, but to repair the damage, the psychological, the spiritual, the psychological, the trauma that has happened. Remember, our people have been terrorized, traumatized, tortured, and tormented for centuries. So what we've done is identified, when we say public mental health, well, who are some of our experts in the area of public and mental health? We know that Dr. Naeem Akbar is still around. We know the former great work of Dr. Kobe Cambone. We know the great works of Dr. Francis Cress Welsey. They have all produced students that will help us in that process of healing and the process. We know that we have great spiritual leaders. We know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has laid the base and the foundation and other great spiritual warriors. We know that we have, from an educational standpoint, we know that we can come up with a Black African-centered paradigm that is contrary and that will help restore our people educationally. So we're talking, again, complete reparations. And we know that some of our people say, well, brother, I ain't a part of that. Well, yeah, okay, that's fine. But complete reparations speaks to the masses of our people, not the Black petty bourgeoisie who say, well, I don't need no reparations. And y'all ain't doing nothing but asking for somebody to do something for you all. No, if at the end of the day, this is about the masses of Black people. Well, you and I have gone and graduated and matriculated and graduated from the best colleges and universities. But what about the masses of the people who have been systematically locked out, locked under and locked in for centuries now? That's what complete reparations is for.
And I appreciate your answer. Hold on, Brother Thomas. We're going to may have to do a part two, man, because this is just too good and too informative, and other people have questions. We want to do about another 10 to 15 minutes, and then we're going to close out. But I'm going to ask other people to ask the questions, and I'm going to ask y'all to, you know, try to give them short answers.
Okay, yes, sir. All right. Yes, sir, Josh.
But, Professor Rob.
Yes.
Can I ask Brother Michael to put that flyer back up, or I gave you ability to share the screen? So you want to put that flyer back up that you had on the screen?
I didn't put it up. Someone else put that flyer up, sir.
That wasn't you?
No,
it may have been Professor Ra, Dr. Ra.
No, it was Brother Michael. It was your screen. It was on your screen. But it's okay. I gave you ability to share your screen, but you had like a flyer on the front of your screen.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the Indaba. Okay, hold on one second. I'll
So we can show that. There it is. Go ahead and speak so it'll show up.
Okay. Well, this was from the second annual Indaba National Reparations Summit that we held at Clark Atlanta University of last year. We will be having our third annual, and we'll have our flyer for our third annual National Reparations Indaba Summit. It will be held at the Clark Atlanta University from Friday, November the 4th through Sunday, November the 6th. We will have the open door public meeting on Friday, and then we'll have closed door meetings on Saturday that would be concentrate on the select committees and the development of policies and procedures and organizing and uniting the movement and controlling our own narrative. That is our process, and that is what we want to do. And as Brother Reginald had mentioned earlier, we will also be including other reparations organizations nationally and internationally, and to unite the movement worldwide. So that is what we're going to be doing. That is what we're working on now. We're in the planning process now, and we're asking people to go to the website at www.nationalreparationsinstitute.org and register for the Indaba in November, and buy yourself a declaration and share it with your friends and talk to people about what you find in the declaration so that we'll have the maximum amount of participation we can. and the Indaba will be held virtually as well as in person. So we are really looking forward to a big turnout for the Indaba this year.
Right. All right, brother, Sister Monica, did you have any questions?
Yes, I'm not sure if it's a question, but I have a, I don't know if Brother Reginald Muhammad has heard about this, and there's something I believe that we're trying to do in the United States is that we're trying to pretend that racism and slavery didn't happen. For instance, I don't know if you saw, you know, first we started with the whole critical race theory, you know, and that we're not allowed to talk about that. And let's not talk about that. But now I was reading something where the Board of Education in the state of Texas has decided, I think this was July 1st, that they brought up, somebody brought up something saying they think they want to change in their textbooks. They don't want to use the word slavery anymore. They want to teach the children at the elementary level that it was involuntary relocation is what they're going to call it.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's a whole thing where we're trying to make slavery go away or pretend that it didn't happen just so that we don't have to do anything. Like we don't have to, you know, we can't demand reparations. Like, what are you guys talking about? It was involuntary relocation. That's all it was, you know. Yeah. Like, so what do you think about that?
Well, again, that's another way, because they know what's coming around the country and around the world. They know that we're organizing, just like I told you about Harvard University. And now what you see, select multinational corporations and governments, because they know we're coming. The declaration has been out over a year and it's sold, I'm seriously, throughout the United States, and we've shipped it out of the country too. At the end of the day, they know what's coming and they know that there's a declaration out there. So they're trying to soften the blow. Harvard University talking about, well, we're gonna allocate $100 million. Well, by the time Brother Michael does a quantification and looks at what they owe, it may be some billions, it may be $2 or $3 billion that they owe. And so now they're trying to, soften the blow. They're trying to cover it up because they know if America is ever going to be successful and we're going to get over the problem of wicked white supremacy and the atrocity that has been inflicted upon Black people, we're talking complete reparations. And they know our rise really means some of their fall. And they know it's coming. And so that's one reason why they're attempting to do what you're saying, Monica. That's public, what they call public policy. And so that's one of our jobs. And my job is to ensure in the select committee, we have Dr. Rob, you would be thrilled about this. We ain't just talking, but we will have final reports and recommendations coming out in the form of white papers and position papers on those five areas. So our people will be update on and clear on what we're talking about when we say complete reparations. Congress will get copies of the declaration. There are people, Congress members, who already have copies of it. And then, of course, the state of California is doing, has moved forward. Again, I told you what I thought where some of the contradictions were and some of the problems were, but we helping them out because they have at least four of them on the committee I have been consulting with over the last 6-7 months. So at the end of the day, you're right, Monica, and our job is to continue to push reparations because they're going to continue to push harder because they know it's coming and they know that at the end of the day, Blacks are going to be free. And they're afraid. And what you're seeing is a reactionary response from them in the way of public policy saying, well, you better not teach this. You can go to jail. You can lose your job because they know the wave is coming.
All right. Monica, that was an excellent question. And if you have any information on that policy, could you make sure we get it because we want to post it. And I don't know how they're going to deal with Galveston, Texas, and Juneteenth. But anyway, what about Linda? Linda, you have any questions at this point?
No, no questions at this time.
All right, then. Brother Hembrick, at closing question?
Yeah, a couple of things. I still don't have a clear understanding of the pressure that's going to have to be brought to bear for them to give it up. And number two, brother, first brother that spoke, he spoke about the 400 years of enslavement and what we've gone through. Actually, it's 3,000 years. And across the northern part of the continent and the southern part of the continent, is being occupied by invaders or the descendants of invaders.
Okay.
So the Arab nations across North Africa, because the only type of African is a black African. Okay. And those people that's controlling the North and the South are not.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's a whole nother discussion. But my main point I'm trying to get is, what kind of pressure are African Americans or those in the Western Hemisphere going to have to bring to bear in order for them to give it up?
Okay, good question. Brother, let's go back to the quadruple base paradigm that I explained early on. Yeah. And what's in that paradigm, and it's not just a theory anymore, I can prove it in no limit of time. Let's go back to the power and the profit base. Brother, you know what makes up their power base, brother? It's a mindset of white supremacy. And then too, also that makes up the power base is their military. Brother, wait till they see their numbers go down in enlisted person, black and brown. Wait till black people, the students and youth around the country who have mastered technology where you and I struggle with it, when they say, okay, next year we pull in, you see 20, 30,000 accounts canceled in white banks. They'll come to the table then. Because see, now you're talking about their profit base now. You're talking about their power base. So again, we got to get our people organized, brother. And again, when they understand the paradigm, the quadruple base paradigm, that's how we're going to secure reparation. Brother, again, I can give you more examples. What you see right now in with the war with Ukraine and Russia, and why America is participating, that has everything to do with their power base and their profit base, as well as their policy base. And then we can connect it with the privilege base. So the more we get into that, because this is a public forum, I don't give all of the information, but the quadruple base paradigm explains it. And that's how you're going to put pressure on them to bring them to the table. It won't be based on you protesting, picketing, and prayer breakfasts. That's not going to get you reparations, bro. Exactly. You're talking about a white ruling class don't care nothing about you. See, sometimes those who are organizing for reparations and blacks are using a model that you're trying to appeal to their consciousness, their civility, their compassion, their humanity. You can't do that. This is warfare on another level. And the quadruple base paradigm talks about that. And that's all under what is called the collective culture model. And Dr. Ra, we were blessed to do this over a decade ago. They would not even allow me to finish and get my master's. My thesis is entitled The Movement to Secure Reparations for Blacks in America and an Analysis of Fragmented Models and Methodologies. It's a 110-page thesis. It's online. You can go download it. But what's relevant about that, I talked about then the collective culture model then and what it would take to actually secure reparations for Blacks in America. But again, that collective culture model is much more to it than that. And maybe the next time we're on, we'll put the diagram on it. But it's that blueprint of how you actually secure reparations.
Good. Excellent.
And just to say one thing on it, dear brother, the U.S. Navy has already come out with a map on the redistribution of land in America. They know it's coming. Yeah. They know it's coming. What it is, we're holding up reparations and we're holding up us getting our land. And we got to stop this because the only thing that holds us back is ourselves. So America's ready to give it up. It's just time for us to take our place, brother. So that's why we're going on our 25-city tour to teach our people on reparations. And we're also going to tell our young students don't go in the military. We're going to tell our people don't bank at white banks anymore. They're not doing anything for you. We're going to give the history on these banks. We're going to give the history on what we did in the U.S. military to help America to remain a world superpower and what America did to us in return. Remember, they experimented on Black men in the U.S. military with LSD during World War II. Remember, during Vietnam, they dropped DDT and other chemicals on Black soldiers and experimented with the marijuana and heroin with Black men. Then we have the Tuskegee experiment. Then we have the smallpox. Then we also have to deal with what they did with the polio vaccine. They have been doing a litany of things to our people that have been hidden from our people, and we need to bring that to the surface. So there are plenty of things that we can do to put the pressure on America. We just have to pull the cover off, and we can't punk out when the pressure comes back on us to stop.
All right. Brother Rasha Key.
Yes, sir. Powerful, brothers. Man. Hey, I can't wait for the second one. We need this information like we need us. So this is beautiful. I thank you wholeheartedly, and can't wait for you to come back.
Right. So, Brother Michael, would you speak about just some of that map that you gave me the opportunity to look at some months ago, brother? Talk about just a little bit of that map, brother, without giving too much of it.
Well, it talked about the Black section, which would be many of the Southern states.
Mm-hmm.
It talked about the White section, which was many of the New England states, from Pennsylvania to Maine. It talked about the Muslim section. They even have a Muslim section that includes Michigan and Illinois and parts of Indiana. They talk about the American Indian section that includes Oklahoma and Arizona, New Mexico, parts of California, Wyoming, Idaho, North and South Dakota. They talk about giving parts of Texas and Southern Arizona back to Mexico. So they know it's coming. They know it's here.
And Dr. Rao, before we go off, thank you, Brother Michael. Before we go off, Dr. Rao, I cannot emphasize enough that quantification scale, that is the first time you'll find hundreds of books on reparations, and you got even white scholars that some of our Black leaders in the reparations movement have relied on to quantify and calculate the numbers. But Brother Michael, after weeks and weeks of trial and rewriting and editing, developed a scale that can be retrofitted for any African nation at the national level here in the United States, the state and local, and as well as the municipal level. That quantification scale can be retrofitted and used to quantify and calculate reparations for the masses of our people. And that's very key, what's in that declaration. And Brother Michael, you all don't know his background, but if you've ever flown into Atlanta, the brother who was one of the senior air traffic controllers who trained hundreds of them, that's the man right here who developed that scale for us.
All right, good. But let me just say this right quick as we get ready to announce what we're gonna have Wednesday. And then, Brother Reginald, I'll get with you on the next time we can schedule you.
Yes, sir.
Michael. But, you know, a lot of people don't remember the topographical tour, Brother Michael.
Yes, sir.
And Dr. Khalid went traveling from dot to dot. The whole,
yeah, that's right.
And the how we would defend ourselves by clogging up the freeways and all those type of stuff, you know. I mean, we got a lot of lessons from the nation. The other thing is that we've tried to build a Black United Front. It's not easy to build a reparation, Black reparation front. We have to include what we call cooperative relationships in the area of what you would call Operation Unity. Cooperative, a sense of cooperative leadership and decision making. How are we gonna? It took us a year and a half to build to make a constitution for the Los Angeles branch of the National Black United Front.
Yeah, okay.
And me, Brother Kwaku Duren, and a bunch of other people from different organizations was chosen and selected. And I was selected president. It's not easy. Because the first thing you want to say is, can we let white people in? You know, and the socialists and that are black. And I mean, you know, my issue is that a cooperative decision-making. How are you going to make your decision? Who going to have votes? How you select the leaderships of your movement? Principles of cooperation. That's what we use that. Principles of, decision-making. Principles of unity. Principles of why we need inspiration. You got a beautiful blueprint, the Declaration. And just like Brother Thomas' mom, I'm going to get it as soon as I can. And I will be working. I know Sister Linda going to help me work me through it. So I'll be getting that. But I just want to tell both of y'all, man, this has been, as Rasha Key said, dynamic. We hope to have you back on. This will be on YouTube. You can refer people to it. And it'll be under your name. I think, Rasha Key, I asked you what picture you want or how you want to put it on.
I'm pretty sure they probably will want that book cover on there.
Okay.
Is that right, Brother Reginald?
Anything that you all could do to assist us, it will go a long way because you all have an audience of students, organizers, community leaders, and again, we just so thankful that you would allow us to be on tonight and the questions that you asked because this is our life's work. We're not running from it, and we just grateful to be a part of it and to be a student of both of you all who have been on the ground as long distance runners for a long time, and we just grateful and appreciate it.
And we will be posting the declarational cover on our must read list on the website for Community Education Network, as well as other information that Brother Rasha Key thinks should be on there and recommend people to get to. I want to say this to you. The grains of sand are few on the ocean floor in comparison to the many things we offer both of y'all for your wealth of knowledge and contribution to our mental, cultural, spiritual, and physical liberation. This has been one dynamic presentation on reparations. Most of them, like you say, have not done the reading, the studying that you two have done, the calculation, the networking that it takes to build a movement. And we predict for you good fortune. And we will be asking you to come back on. So Rasha Key, would you go ahead and close us on out? And oh yeah, y'all can tune in anytime. We have Mondays and Wednesdays. Even here on the 4th of July, a holiday on Mondays and Tuesdays. But anyway, Rasha Key's gonna close us out.
Dr. Ra?
Yes.
Dr. Ra? Can I just say, it'll take me 30 seconds real quick. Dr. Ra, again, thank you and the audience for allowing us to be here. Let me close out with this. For the remainder of the 21st century, we must produce thousands of great thinkers who are great builders and thousands of great builders who are great thinkers. Then and only then are we prepared to take our original position on top and at the center of the world stage as a proud, productive, proficient, and powerful people. We'll do it with complete reparations. Thank you all.
All right. Good. That was an excellent closing statement, Brother Mike.
Excellent. Appreciate it. Okay, so on Wednesday, we have Dr. H. It's a colleague of mine. We worked close together at Centennial High School with our students. And his topic is why minorities need to invest their money. So that's what we have Wednesday. All right, Professor Rye, anybody for Monday?
I think Mike wanted to say something in closing.
Brother Mike. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
I just want to say real quickly, it doesn't take great numbers to make a change. Remember, when America wanted Texas, they sent 20,000 people into Texas to take the territory, and they took it. Germany put the world on its heels with just 17 million people when there was a population of 2.5 billion. During the Russian Revolution, they sent 350,000 people into Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution to turn Russia on its heels. So great numbers is not what it requires. It is a collective will. So that is why we have developed the collective culture model, and we have developed the quadruple base paradigm, because anything we determine to do is possible. That's all I wanted to say.
And Malcolm said, who cares about odds? They send you over there to face 800 million Chinese, you know, in the Vietnam War. So who cares about odds? You know? Yes, go ahead, Rashti. So that's about it. Let me just tell y'all again. We will be having you back. I will be meeting with Reggie and staying in contact with both of y'all as far as what's going on in Atlanta. I got a grandson out there, and my sister-in-law, my wife's sister lives in Stone Mountain. So So I'm just gonna stay in contact. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right then, brother.
All right. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody have a good evening.